There is just something beautiful about having that training happen in community, in team, in their local culture, with their kind of, again, history, their recent stories of success, their heartache, all of that, centering and connecting the education we offer to their stories and their reality, I think is part of what people feel so connected with when they experience the care course.
Welcome to QualityCast North, a podcast dedicated to showcasing healthcare quality improvement across northern British Columbia. Casting today from the traditional territories of the Kleklaytané and Tsintiaan First Nations are your hosts.
I'm Cher Chewy.
And I'm Lee Cameron.
You're listening to QualityCast North. Regular listeners of this podcast will know by now that we regularly return to the theme of rural medical practice, its joys, its challenges, and the innovative solutions rural practitioners have to develop and improve the quality of care they provide. Now, rural medical practice requires a specific mindset and offers a broad scope of practice, which is very attractive to many people. But how do physicians and their teams working in rural facilities develop and maintain that broad skill set that's key to safe and high-quality patient care? Well, the Rural Coordination Centre of British Columbia's Care Course has established itself in this educational space and has built an exceptional reputation doing so. And to talk about the Care Course are two of its faculty and its founders, our guests today, Dr. Jill Coward and Dr. Rebecca Lindley. Welcome to the show, both of you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, at the beginning of our podcast, we nearly always ask our guests to tell us a little bit about themselves. And so I wonder if you can tell us a bit about yourselves, your background, your current practice, and your role on the Care Course team.
Sure. Well, thanks very much for having us. We're delighted to be here to have a conversation with you today. So my name's Rebecca. I'm a physician. I'm a rural physician. We are also a married couple. We should say that from the outset. There's sometimes a bit of banter. And if people don't know that about us, it's always a little bit awkward. We are a couple that lived and worked in Pemberton, BC for 15 years, a small community where we did rural family practice and eMERGE. And both of us came to Pemberton with some previous rural experience. Jill was from the UK originally. Do you want to speak about that?
Yeah, so I came from the UK, actually having met Rebecca, that is why I'm here, and came from rural Wales, actually, to rural BC, which was great, and quite a transition, actually, even moving from the UK to here. And I was delighted to be able to continue practicing rural medicine. I was a rural family doc in Wales. We had a small, what we call a cottage hospital there, and came to a similar sort of environment in Pemberton where we had a small eMERGE department. We didn't have inpatient beds, and we were providing family practice and eMERGE care to quite a diverse population. I have some background in pre-hospital care and emergency medicine in the UK a little bit. I worked with the British Association for Immediate Care as a physician responding with the ambulance service and as part of something called the West Midlands Care Team. So I was delighted moving to Canada and being able to still practice some emergency medicine and indeed pre-hospital care through search and rescue and ski patrol and those things.
Mm-hmm. We'd also done some work with a wilderness medicine training program. And I think that's an important part of the history of the care course, because that was the first time that both of us really had a deep experience with interprofessional care and interprofessional education. And I think traditionally in healthcare, education is usually siloed. Nurses will do a training program for a day, or physicians will go off and do a trauma course, or pre-hospital providers will do their own training. And the problem with that, when you come back to work together as a team, is you often don't know the language each other's speaking, or there's been updates that have happened. And really, this wilderness medicine experience, the teaching, the experience of it, and then the teaching, some education we were involved with, really taught us that when you bring different interprofessional team members together, what's the expression? The sum is much greater than the collective individual parts.
Sure.
That's probably not the expression, but anyway, yeah. And so that was the first place we really saw interprofessional education, and really then came to see its role, particularly around rural healthcare.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's a good introduction into the subject of the care course itself. It sounds like you've given a little bit of a background there as to where that sort of origin story came from. But can you explain a little bit more about that origin story and why you felt there was a need for something like the care course in the first place?
So there's probably many parts to that origin story. So first of all, or one of the pieces, I wouldn't say was first. In 2006, we were involved with a needs assessment of rural physicians for what their CPD or continuing professional development medical updates are required, and what they felt they really needed. And the messages that came from those, they were surveys and then in-person interviews and small group sessions, were really clear. People needed education that really fit, that was grounded in what their current work environment was. And so often in healthcare education, as an example, physicians will again go off and do a course, but they're doing it in a bigger center where the resources, the access to specialist services or specialist imaging is just so different than what they have in their home community. And it was really clear people wanted education that was reflective of what their reality was in their home community. And similarly around human resources. So again, in a big city, you might be able to push a button on the wall with a critical care patient and have 20 people arrive in the room. And in most small communities, you'd be lucky to have more than five. And so they wanted education that really reflected that. So that was one piece to it, was this 2006 needs assessment. The second piece was just recognizing that in our small community, it was really hard to get to find any education that would come out to us and that would again give our team, which at that point was, nurses, pre-hospital providers, and physicians, and then over time grew to have the addition of nurse practitioners, that would really give them the kind of education that fit with our rural reality. So those were two of the big pieces that started it.
Yeah, and I guess a third piece was going back to the wilderness medicine training and working interprofessionally in that small rural place. If you only have a physician and a nurse, that's all you have. And if you work interprofessionally, you have a physician and nurse and two paramedics in your trauma room working well together, suddenly you've got a much better team and providing much better care and planning that transport. So yeah, it really those strong roots in the wilderness medicine and there was just a parallel for us, I think, between working in a small rural place and providing medicine on a mountainside and how we might do that.
And then the third piece was the support of RCCBC, the Rural Coordination Centre of BC, which also supported by the JSC, the Joint Standing Committee on Rural Issues. There was a window there where they offered kind of an opportunity to develop kind of a homegrown rural BC program that would really travel out to rural communities and offer the kind of education that we were envisioning.
So we got very excited and probably a bit carried away, and many hours, probably pillow talk at night, actually, starting to try and shape this program.
Excellent. You mentioned a few of those core differences between rural practice and urban practice. One of the things you mentioned was just the number of staff and the local facilities you have available. I wonder if you could just give us some sort of practical examples of how stark those differences are between practicing rural medicine and say working in a larger city.
Yeah, it's always challenging to sum it up and think of things. But if we think about perhaps one of the most challenging situations is intubating a patient in the trauma room, maybe a young patient, then in the city you are going to have a respiratory therapist, maybe two respiratory therapists, one stood either side of you while you're doing it, and things just appear in your hands as you need them. They can read your mind and see ahead. And in a small place, you're going to be stood there, maybe with one nurse, maybe with two nurses. If you're lucky, you might have another physician, some paramedics around, but a much, much smaller team in that room. Which means your approach to it needs to be very different. And the way you set it up ahead of time, the way everything needs to be out and ready to be accessed, the way the whole team needs to be on the page as to if this fails, we're going to do this. If this fails, we're going to do this. All good airway training, but just magnified 10 or 100-fold in a small rural place when it is just you that's going to be managing those sorts of difficulties.
The frequency of doing any of those procedures, some of which actually now get called HALO procedures, right? High acuity, low occurrence. We would not do those as often in rural communities. So the fear and anxiety about doing those in the moment is much higher. There's another piece to it that often you're doing these procedures on people you know well. They might even be your neighbor or your friend. And so the weight of that is much higher. There's no anonymity in a small community as a provider, whether things go well or whether they don't go well. You live with that forever, not just in your workplace, but you live with it in the grocery store, at the school Christmas concert, like everywhere. And to be clear, that is part of the joy of working rurally, but it certainly is part of the challenge and the burden at times, particularly around emergency care. So I think all of those pieces. If you want to put your patient, have special imaging like a CT scan, you're traveling with that patient in the back of an ambulance for maybe hours to get that. Whereas in the big city, you're literally going down the hallway. And if the patient deteriorates en route, again, you can push a button and you might have 20 people respond, including an airway specialist, maybe even a pediatric airway specialist. Whereas again, it's you in that small community. So many pieces of it are quite different. And I think that's often not appreciated in the education that's offered. Your mindset's really different. If I learn about doing that from someone who also does one of those procedures occasionally, then my mindset's going to be similar to their mindset. But if I learn from someone who's in a big center intubating people, as an example, every single day, their mindset is so different than mine that starts from a place of fear and less familiarity with it. So I think all of those pieces make it quite different in a small place.
I want to come back briefly to the, but you know them. And I worry when people hear those words that they might feel frightened of rural medicine. And I was so glad in your introduction when you mentioned the word joy, because amongst all of that and that worry and that fear and living in the community comes immense joy to be part of a successful resuscitation, or even an unsuccessful resuscitation, where you are already connected with the family, maybe as what their family physician, and you can be part of their care in that moment and the following day and the next day, and part of that family surviving that episode. There's deep joy in practicing medicine in that very, very connected way with community. But equally, it is challenging, as Rebecca so nicely said.
Those are fantastic insights, and I love that term, the halo procedure. You're right; those are the ones that really, I think, people keep people up at night, worried that they're going to get coming in the next day, and again, even more stressful if it is something you know.
And with that, I'm trying to remember the expression. We do rare things rarely, but we commonly do rare things. So you don't do the same rare thing and again, but nearly every week you're asked to do something that you haven't been asked to do for a year or two or a number of months or something like that.
Yeah, that does sound like rural healthcare there, right there. Okay, well, let's switch to the education side now, because that's the other half of the equation when it comes to the care course. So what additional challenges do you think are encountered when you're trying to educate people who are in those rural and remote practice areas? What are the challenges to delivering training and education in those communities?
I mean, traditionally, people have left communities, particularly physicians. They leave communities to go away for that training. And that's really difficult when you don't have enough staffing always to backfill. So that's one of the biggest difficulties.
For education generally in rural areas, and also the nurses go to different courses and the paramedics go to different courses, etc. And so trying to get some continuity and some coherence in the trauma room following that can be difficult, and actually can often lead to diverse opinions in the trauma room, which is useful, but it can not be useful. It can be more difficult at some times, I should say.
So the care course actually takes that whole travel logistic away from the communities in the sense that we bring everything to them. And there's so many benefits to doing that. First, it eliminates just the challenge of trying to back staff. You can make sure that everyone on the team can attend the course. We take on the challenge of getting to the community rather than the docs, nurses, and paramedics taking on the challenge of getting out of the community in the sense of traveling distance and geography and weather. We bring all the equipment to them. And there is just something beautiful about having that training happen in community, in team, in their local culture, with their kind of, again, history, their recent stories of success, their heartache, all of that, centering and connecting the education we offer to their stories and their reality, I think is part of what people feel so connected with when they experience the care course.
We try to make it seamless for them. So, again, to reduce this need to keep going out of the community, et cetera, they decide they want the care course. We ask them to find a physician lead, a nurse lead, and a paramedic lead, and we have a teleconference with them. So we have to have buy-in from all three professions. And then once we've had that teleconference, we pretty much streamline the rest of the process ourselves, and the equipment just arrives, and we tell them exactly what it's going to look like and the space it'll need to be put in, so that we can unload it when we get there. So it really tries to streamline that, so they're there to learn, not to have the hassle of arranging a course or arranging their own flights to go out to a course and all of those things. So we like to think that we shoulder what previously they had to shoulder.
I love that idea of going to them, right? Going to where they are in that small facility context, in that team context, in that cultural context, and working with them where they are. But I'm interested to know, I mean, so you go to them, but it's a large outfit. You've got to take a lot of equipment. You've got to take a large team there. What's the setup there? Do you all get in a big truck together and head over, or how do you coordinate that?
So it varies so much because British Columbia is a beautiful province with incredibly diverse geography and travel realities.
As we all know.
And so we ship the equipment there. There's four pallets of equipment with 24 boxes of airway equipment and mannequins and defibs and kind of everything. We take enough so that literally we could go into a room of the community center if that was the only place we could run the course, and we could run it there. But generally we run it in people's home communities, and we use their trauma room to run some of the scenarios. We use their little eMERGE department for some of the teaching stations. So we bring all the equipment that gets shipped ahead of time, and then our team travels from all across the province. So generally, we have a couple nurses, a couple pre-hospital providers, and a couple physicians that come to every course. They also are rural folks. So I think that's one of the other different things about the care course is sometimes we take the most experienced provider, and because they're going to have the most experience, and therefore they should be the ones to go out and teach. And they're the most experienced maybe in the frequency of a procedure, but they're not the most experienced in what it's like to do that in a rural community. So we really take folks who are well grounded in the life and work of rural healthcare, and they're the ones who go into other rural communities and teach. So our team travels from all over BC and ends up together in the community, sometimes traveling together, sometimes separately. And we arrive the day before, we unpack equipment, set it up, ready for the course. A course starts with breakfast at 7:30 for everyone. We start the course at 8. And we run till 6, and we do that 2 days in a row. And then our team packs up the gear all back in the boxes and on the pallets. And usually that leaves the next day, and so do we. And it's a beautiful couple days, really living and breathing what it's like in their community to both teach, and then you see patients come in and out throughout the day.
So your question of challenge, part of the challenge is also always having an energized, keen, enthusiastic, inspiring faculty. And I think part of that decision to always have rural people do it provides exactly that, because every community they go into, they know what it's like being in the back of that ambulance with that sick child, or stood at 3 o'clock in the morning with your sick neighbor. And they feel that. And so they bring that extra energy. They know how important this education is, and to connect with that community and all those other pieces are. And we just feel we get that more from rural people. And the other trade-off for that, or the other payback for that, is that these rural people go back to their rural communities. So they come and teach with a care course, and then they go back to their community. And so they bring more of the care course into their community. And so we think of it as bi-directional, because they're trained to teach, and they can teach in their community. But also, we learn from every small community we come through. They come to. Someone says, "We do this like this." And you go, "That's a fantastic idea. Why didn't I think of that in my 30 years of practice?" And I'm going to take that and share it around other communities. So yeah, just that piece of getting people enthused. We have great faculty, is what I'm trying to say, I
I
guess.
just Ramit, so this is multidisciplinary training, I think. So you're training team members together. Can you just give us an inkling of the sort of content and what sort of things you're actually training, and how you actually deliver that?
Yeah, and you've raised another point that I'll just share as we answer. The course is kind of divided up into half days in terms of content. The morning of the first day is mostly around airway care. The afternoon of the first day is mostly around trauma care. And then day two, we kind of have pediatric, obstetrics, neonatal emergencies. And then in the afternoon of day two, it's cardiac care and kind of internal medicine complexities, let's say that. The way we do it is we'll often have 8 pre-hospital providers, 8 nurses, 8 physicians at a course. And so when we go to manage and talk about airways, we actually take the nurses and do a bit of teaching with the nurses. And in a different room, we'll take the pre-hospital providers. And in another room, we'll have the physicians. And we do that because then we can really kind of hone the teaching to their competencies, to their, licensing, to their scope of practice, and then their kind of cultural and rural reality. So we do a number of skill stations around airway management, usually four, and then we'll have a little break, tea and cookies, and then we do some scenarios. And in each group for a scenario, we'll have one or two docs, one or two nurses, one or two paramedics. So you're really tailoring the learning and the skills to the profession. But then when we come to manage a scenario, we're bringing the mix of skills, which reflects reality. When the paramedics come in with a really sick patient, they hang out, they've got one or two nurses and one or two physicians, and they run the scenario with an interprofessional team.
And that is so fantastic to watch because often the physicians feel very on the spot trying to make decisions and things. And sometimes, for example, the pre-hospital care providers, often a primary care paramedic, are stood back a little bit to start with because they're not quite sure how to intervene. But consequently, they have a lot more space in their heads. And often you will hear the paramedic whisper to the other paramedic, "Why don't we do this?" And you think, "That's a fabulous idea." And then we'll go and whisper in the paramedic's ear saying, "Well, why didn't you find a way to integrate that into the communication here and bring that forward?" So just lovely to be part of those interprofessional things. And just we keep learning how we benefit from having interprofessional people looking after sick people, but also learning together.
Now, the care course has received overwhelmingly positive feedback from those participating. I think that's safe to say that without any doubt. You hear comments like, by far the best course I've ever done, hands down, and the care course beats them all, and the best course we've ever put on here. Comments like that, I think you have them on your website as well. But why do you think it's been so successful?
And I really think it comes down to connection. So we come to a community and we ask enough ahead of time, and as we're setting up for the course, the entire team of faculty will do that, ask those questions so that we can really ground the teaching and the scenarios in what their reality is like. So for example, when's the last time you had a birth here? We'll ask a question like that. How much blood do you have in this facility? If you had a patient with a head injury, where would you send them? And we ask all those questions ahead of time. Even things like what's been hard in this community in the last 6 months, and we learn something's happened or there's a relationship issue or whatever. And so we really value what their reality is, and we put that into the education. So we may do it in simple ways, like in the scenarios, we'll slip in a line about recognizing how hard the highway is to get to the referral center, or how difficult it was when we had that pediatric incident a few months ago. And it's amazing how you just see in the participants' eyes, like we're being seen, and our reality is being recognized. So I think that's the biggest part. And our whole team of faculty really buys into, we say buys into, but really invests and believes in the value of that. And that's the framework through which we deliver and we engage with kind of any kind of education, like airways, trauma, whatever. Somebody recently wrote to us that they appreciate the three-dimensional teaching. And I think they just meant the care we give of the learners. You've got people living and working in communities, working really hard to give amazing healthcare, and it's hard. And so our job is to show up and care for them. Like we really consider it part of our job to nourish them with education, but also kind of care of their humanity, recognizing how hard it is to do the job that they do.
I feel sure it is exactly those pieces that produce those reviews, not particularly how well this station was taught, etc. It's that feeling of that people came and cared for us and saw us and identified with us and validated us in the work that we're doing, which is very nice from a soft point of view, but it's also very nice from a technical educational point of view, because in those spaces, people learn better. And so there is a bit of educational theory tied behind this. It's not done in a tool of force way. It came about looking retrospectively. So why are people learning so well? Oh, because they feel safe, they feel supported, they feel connected, they feel happy to be able to stand there managing a tricky scenario patient, sometimes with tears in their eyes, and then to move through that and know that the person looking after that scenario, running that scenario, the faculty member can identify with them, etc.
There's a sense of shared vulnerability. right? So for me, being in Pemberton and having stood in front of that sick kid in the middle of the night, I know how vulnerable you feel. And so even if I don't even say those words, the way in which we talk about managing airways is conveyed. And I think people just really recognize that and value that. And they don't have to hide their own vulnerability then, which is what often happens on courses, right? We show up with our like kind of biggest shell, and just try and get through. And we don't learn the best in that type of environment.
And then at risk of repetition, I guess, having all of those things, embracing all of those things, we all feel those things, and then managing to reflect back with the participants and bring them along how joyful and satisfying and rewarding this work is that we get to do because of exactly those challenges. Definitely there's a big thrust to being inspirational and being a source of inspiration. You know, the more we inspire and support rural healthcare providers, the more there will be rural healthcare providers there tomorrow providing care. And we just see that as a big part of the mandate.
You know, I can really hear that passion you have for this course, this education coming through as we're speaking today, and getting that feel for that, the rewards that you get. But I want to just unpack that a little further and ask, well, you know, what's it like from the faculty perspective, from your perspectives at running the course? You know, what do you personally find rewarding running this course, creating this course, putting this course on year after year? And maybe you can give us some examples to illustrate that.
I guess just a comment that the course started in 2010. We've run it more than, I guess by the end of 2025, we'd run it 202 times. I think that's the number we
Wow.
came to. Something like 4,000 humans have interacted with the care course in those 15 years. And that's amazing. When we started in 2010, we never thought that would be the reality. And again, we just so appreciate the support of RCCBC and the Joint Standing Committee to continuing to support this to go out to communities. It's very joyful. It's very rewarding as a faculty member to go in and see people's kind of community, see the reality of the work that they do. And there's so many stories every course. We just taught a course this weekend, and you walk away with four or five stories in your heart about the challenges people had or the moments when you see their eyes light up. In healthcare, that's amazing. We don't get those opportunities in the same way. So for us, it's a really joyful opportunity.
We get to bring positivity and show positivity, which is hard to do on your everyday job sometimes. Another aspect of that is, though, because there's a few variants of the care course, and we do some special versions for residents, where the participants are all residents, but the faculty then play interprofessional roles in the scenarios that we run. We like to use the word scenario, by the way, not simulation. We mean sort of the same thing, but simulation feels like a bit of a wounded word these days. A lot of people get anxious when they hear simulation. To be with a bunch of young residents who most of them say, well, I'm thinking of going rural, but you know, I'm worried, I'm scared. Maybe I need to do a plus one and emerge. And the reality is a lot of people that do that often then stay just in emerge. And so to be part of touching those young lives and enthusing them about family practice and the connection of family practice to emerge in small communities and being part of that community, it just feels like a fabulous opportunity and a gift to be able to be part of that.
There's also something we haven't mentioned till now, but you walk into communities and sometimes you see dynamics, you see long-standing relationships amongst team members. That's also really joyful to see. And sometimes there's little things that we can offer them separate to the hardcore eMERGE skills that actually help them in those kind of challenging team pieces or communication pieces. And we've all been in environments where we get immersed in those relationships, and sometimes they can be difficult. So walking in as outsiders, but who understand the nature of your work, being able to just connect and offer people little maybe suggestions or tweaks or language changes that might actually make those relationships easier. I think that's another hugely joyful part of the work that we get to do.
We also get to do a little bit of work with PRAs, the practice readiness assessment, so physicians who are new to Canada. And that just feels like, you know, it's a difficult and brave journey those folks follow. And to be part of helping orient them to rural emergency medicine, but more rural emergency medicine culture and our medical culture here, trying to help build a soft landing for them when they arrive in their communities. Just fabulous to have the chance to do that.
Well, thank you for that. And thank you for those examples. And congratulations on running such a successful course for such a length of time, still remaining enthusiastic and loving what you do. And Also, driving the quality of rural healthcare forward and in a positive direction. It's great to have people like you doing this education and impacting across all the rural locations in BC. So, thank you for that. That's a great place to round off our interview today. So, I'd just like to thank you again for joining us today. It's been re lovely having you on. As always, as a token of our thanks, we'll be sending you one of our exclusive and highly coveted QualityCast North coffee mugs. So look out for those in the post. But thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us on, and a big thanks to the faculty who come around teaching and to rural communities that embrace this education. Thank you.
You've been listening to Dr. Jael Coward and Dr. Rebecca Lindley from the Rural Coordination Centre of BC's Care Course. If you'd like to find out more about the Care Course, check out the links in our episode show notes or on our website. But until next time, it's goodbye from us all here at QualityCast North. If you enjoyed today's episode, check out our other episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts, and subscribe to our channel. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question for us about healthcare quality improvement, email us at qualitycomms@northernhealth.ca, and your question could feature on a future episode. QualityCast North is sponsored by the Physician Quality Improvement Initiative, or PQI. PQI is a flagship program of the Specialist Services Committee, a collaboration between the Provincial Ministry of Health and the Doctors of BC, with representation for the provincial health authorities. This episode was co-produced by Dr. Sher Chewy and Lee Cameron, with technical support from Levi Giles and Matt Walker of Expression North. Original music by Daniel Chewy. Further information about today's guest is available in our show notes on our website at nhpqi.ca.